There's a remarkable medrash, a puzzling medrash, commenting on the life and the accomplishments of Esther that I think is hopefully provides us with lessons and points to ponder as far as the celebration of Purim and general life growth. The medrash tells us the following: Rabbi Akiva haya yoshiv v'dorish v'atzibur misnamnim. Rabbi Akiva was sitting and teaching, and the kehila, the crowd, was dozing off. They were falling asleep. Bikesh la'oraron. Rabbi Akiva wanted to wake them up. Amar, he said, Ma rasa Esther shetimloch al sheva v'esrim mei medina. What did Esther see that caused her to rule over 127 provinces? Ela tavo Esther shehaisa bas bita shel Sarah. Rather, let Esther come, who is the descendant, the great-great-great-granddaughter of Sarah Imenu, shehaisa mea v'esrim v'sheva shana, and Sarah, we know, lived for 127 years. So let Esther, her great-great-great-granddaughter, come, v'timloch al mea v'esrim v'sheva medinos, and let her now rule over 127 provinces. It's like a gzeira shava, mea v'esrim v'sheva, mea v'esrim v'sheva. Sarah lived for 127 years, and therefore Esther was zachsa to rule over 127 provinces. Which is so odd. It's so difficult to understand. How exactly do you understand these? These are the students of the great Rabbi Akiva. Imagine how amazing these students must have been, how holy they were. They're really falling asleep during their Rebbe's shiur? Were they all falling asleep? Had they pulled an all-nighter? What's going on? That all of a sudden the Medrash describes the entire kehila sitting there, they're all dozing off. Is Rabbi Akiva not an exciting darshan? What's going on? And what exactly then is his reaction? Clearly, he wants to shake them. He wants to wake them up. I don't know if I want to wake someone up. Wouldn't I tap them on the shoulder? Why is he's giving them this mashal of Esther and Sarah, and what even is meant by this comparison? So those are questions we want to explore. Really try to understand this story. What does it mean that students are falling asleep? What is Rabbi Akiva doing to try to wake them up? And what's meant by this comparison? I want to share three approaches. The first approach developed from Rabbi Chaim Jachter, who put out a new sefer in the king's court, developing themes, Megillas Esther, shares an important idea regarding why our salvation, specifically comes through Esther Amalka. He quotes a Gemara in Meseches Megillah, Daf Tes Zayin, Amud Aleph. The Gemara says as follows: Ki nafol tipol lefanav. Darsh Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai. Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai darshan the pasuk Ki nafol tipol lefanav in the following ways: Shtei nefilos halalu lama. These two fallings, what's meant by them? Amrulo, the advisors said to Haman, Umazu meshulal afar meshulal kochavim. This nation, referring to Klal Yisrael, is compared to the dust of the earth and is also compared to stars. Kishehein yordin, yordin ad afar. When they fall as low as the dust of the earth. Kishehein olin, olin ad la'kochavim. But when they rise until the stars. And the reason why Klal Yisrael are compared these two extremes to illustrate that Klal Yisrael, the life, the history, and the future of Klal Yisrael takes these drastic turns. They can fall as low as the Afar HaAretz, and they could rise as high as the stars in the sky. That is Jewish survival. Jewish survival is our ability to pick ourselves up after being the dust of the earth, and yet to prosper, to fly, to rise until the stars in the sky. And this suggests Ray Jachter is the story of Esther Hamalka. She's orphaned, doesn't have a father or mother, and then somehow she rises to become the queen, ruling over 127 provinces. There's tragedy, there's potential for despair, and yet what Esther represents is the fortitude to persevere and even to prosper. Who else lived her life in this way? Sarah Imenu. We reflect on the life of Sarah Imenu. She lived a very challenging life. She was barren. She couldn't have children. Then she gives over Hagar to Avraham. She witnesses the birth of Yishmael, which must have been so painful for her. She sees Yishmael's growth, which is not in such a pious path. Sarah Imenu finally has a child, and then she watches that negative influence that Yishmael has on her son, and she has to kick Hagar and Yishmael out of the house. And with all of these tragedies, with all of these difficulties, Sarah Imenu is the mother of Klal Yisrael. Her descendants have risen to be the stars of the sky. And when the Torah describes that Sarah lived for 127 years, Rashi points out, Kulan Shavin Latova. her perspective on all of this was positivity. She had a life that could have been described as sinking as low as the dust of the earth, and yet what she accomplished as the mother of Klal Yisrael, Kulan Shavin Letova, is she reached the lofty level of the stars in the sky. And perhaps this was the message that Rabbi Akiva was sharing with his students. His students were sleeping. They were down, perhaps depressed, sleeping, proverbially speaking. And he cheers them up by reminding them that Klal Yisrael always rebounds. The greatness of Klal Yisrael is their ability to rise above the challenges, to rise above the downs in life, and to be able to achieve lofty aspirations, to be able to achieve greatness. That was the message that he was sharing with them. And that's a message that is so deeply personal to Rabbi Akiva himself. You think about the life of Rabbi Akiva. He had to rebuild after losing 24,000 Talmidim. Imagine how one could have felt. And his response is not to give up. His response is not to stay low, but on the contrary, it's to rebuild, to regroup, and to aspire. We know the famous Gemara at the end of Maseches Makos. Rabbi Akiva sees the Chorban. He sees the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. He sees it in ruins. And instead of seeing the destruction, he sees the future stars. He sees the aspirations. He sees the rebuild. He sees what will be with the Beis HaMikdash. Again, that is the optimism of Rabbi Akiva. And that perhaps is the connection between Sara Imenu, her life, her model, and what that set forth for Esther Hamalka, and that's the message that Rabbi Akiva is sharing with his Talmidim. That's approach number one. Approach number two, what exactly are we learning from this comparison, a simple mathematical equation? So many of the Mefarshim point out, I saw this in Rav Druck, in Rav Asher Weiss, Ray Rosner quotes it as well, is that every moment is precious. If there's a correlation between Sara Imenu living for 127 years and Esther Hamalka then being able to rule over 127 provinces, there's an equation being set up by Rabbi Akiva, by the Medrash, in which each year of Sara's life gave Esther a full province. That means that if we broke it down further, each month equaled several cities, each day several streets. In other words, every day of Sara Imenu's life gave koach somehow, however to understand this, to Esther Hamalka, gave rights to Esther Hamalka to rule over additional space, additional streets, additional cities, because that's what we accomplish with our time. Sara Imenu lived 127 years. As Rashi notes in breaking down her years, she really maximized each year. She was 100 years old and she was like she had never sinned. She knew how to maximize every second, every minute, every day, every week, every month, every year. And the corollary of what she accomplished with her time is that her great-great-great-great-granddaughter, Esther Hamalka, was given the ability to rule over 127 provinces. When Rabbi Akiva noticed his students being lethargic, lazy, dozing off, of course he could have tapped them on the shoulder. Temporarily, that would have given them a wake-up. But Rabbi Akiva was not talking about people who needed a physical wake-up. He felt they needed an emotional wake up. They were tired. They needed chizuk. They needed to understand and to value the impact of time. And again, a message that Rabbi Akiva, and perhaps this is why the Medrash is telling us this story. Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim are probably not the only ones who fell asleep, but the Medrash is telling us this story specifically about Rabbi Akiva because we know the greatness of Rabbi Akiva, how he valued time. We know the story after he learned for so many years and came back home and he heard his wife say, if I knew that Rabbi Akiva wanted to learn from more, I would tell him to go back. And Rabbi Akiva went right back without even seeing his wife because he valued what one can accomplish with time. And that's perhaps approach number two of what the Medrash is teaching us. We had students, we had Talmidim who were dozing off. Again, not physically dozing off, but really it meant emotionally they were in a little bit of a slumber. And Rabbi Akiva's chizuk for them, Rabbi Akiva's inspiration to them was understand what we can accomplish with time. The third approach is an approach that Rav Druck suggests and elaborates on so beautifully, which is that the Talmidim weren't necessarily lacking an appreciation of time, but actually themselves, their own self-confidence, their own self-worth, appreciation of what they can accomplish. And says Rabbi Akiva, can I teach you what people can accomplish? Look at Sara Imenu. She lived a life which, as we've discussed, focused on maximizing herself, her potential, never letting obstacles get in the way, but always striving for more. And look at what one person can accomplish. So if not for Sara and Avram, where would Klal Yisrael be? An entire nation was born out because of the 127 years, because of the life of Sara Imenu. And that 127 years set the blueprint, the foundation for Esther Hamalka being able to rule over 127 provinces. And we know that Esther Hamalka really had the same internal struggle, right? Esther Hamalka, who am I? What am I? What am I really going to be able to accomplish? She was an orphan, perhaps again lacking some of that self-confidence. And when it's her time to stand up, we see that internal struggle that she's experiencing. Is she really going to go to Achashverosh? Who knows how Achashverosh can respond? And she needs the chizuk from Mordechai to say to her, this is going to happen, and it's your choice whether you believe in yourself, your choice whether you want to be the hero, or your choice as to whether you want to impact Klal Yisrael Lidori Doros. And the success of Esther, the accomplishments of Esther, the story of Klal Yisrael within the Megillah, is a story of understanding that I can accomplish, I can achieve. Look at what I can achieve. Esther obviously is the heroine in all this because she takes advantage of the opportunity and she stands up to Achashverosh and she garners the self-confidence and she goes to him and the rest is history. But we see this in other ways as well. We see what Klal Yisrael accomplishes within their tfilos. Rabbi Adler, Shlita, the Rosh Yeshiva Emeritus at TABC, pointed out that the greatness of Tanis Esther is that it teaches us to believe in tefillah. It shows us the koach ha-tefillah. Most of our fast days are days in which we suffered incredible tragedy. Tanis Esther is the exception. Tanis Esther shows us we fasted, we davened, and Hashem granted our tefillah. It shows the greatness of people. And Rav Druck suggests this is exactly what the Talmidim were struggling with. They were misnamnim. The Gemara describes this in the context of Kriyas HaMegillah, your heir velo heir. I'm awake, but I'm dozing off. I can answer if someone calls my name. I'm in this slumber. I'm not in a deep sleep. I'm in a slumber. I'm down, not really awake and aware. And when Rabbi Akiva saw it, again, if it was just physical, he could have tapped them on the shoulder and woke them up. But he felt that they were looking. They were like, what can we really achieve? They weren't believing in themselves. And he tried to wake them up by saying, look at what you guys can accomplish. And once again, Rabbi Akiva had this as part of his life, because we know Rabbi Akiva was not always a Talmud Chacham. He wasn't always aspiring to be a Talmud Chacham. But what changed? The Gemara describes, Chazal described, that he saw water, which is a very malleable object, dripping on a rock. And water can't really do anything to a rock. It usually goes around the rock. It's malleable in that way. But when it was dripping, 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 drop after drop after drop, it has the ability to penetrate even the hardest of substances, even that rock. Rabbi Akiva learned from that look at what one can accomplish bit by bit by bit. Greatness is not achieved overnight. Greatness is not achieved in an instant. Greatness is not achieved by snapping my fingers. Greatness is achieved by plugging away drip after drip, minute after minute, day after day. And that's what inspired and transformed Rabbi Akiva's life, where he realized, look at what one can accomplish. And that was the message that he was sharing with his Talmidim. So to quickly summarize, we had this Medrash, which is so hard to understand. Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim are falling asleep. He wants to wake them up. He tells them this analogy that how did Esther Hamalka merit to rule over 127 provinces? It was because Sara Imenu, her ancestor, lived 127 years. End of the Medrash. We wanted to understand, how could it be they were falling asleep? What exactly is Rabbi Akiva's reaction, and what's meant by the comparison? Approach number one, which we developed from the Sefer of Rabbi Chaim Jachter, was to appreciate that he was telling them about Jewish history. Jewish history is that whenever there's a down, we have the ability to pick ourselves up and to rise. A message that I think is deeply timely for what Klal Yisrael continues to go through today, where there's tremendous sadness in everything that's happening. There's so much loss that we've suffered in Eretz Yisrael. And at the same time, even amidst these losses, We see heroes, we see greatness, we see inspiration, we see Klaus on ways we've never seen ourselves before, with the achdus, with the camaraderie, with the respect. And the Mirat Hashem will emerge from this horrific time is the greatness of the stars in the sky. That was approach number one of our ejector, is that Rabbi Akiva was waking up his students by saying, we are going to rise up. You need to start physically. Let's rise up. Look at what Sari Menu did. Look at what Esther Malka did. Approach number two was trying to show a comparison in terms of time. Look at the greatness of what one can accomplish every year, every month, every week, every day. And the last is to appreciate the greatness of ourselves. Look at the greatness of Sari Menu. Look at the impact of a Sari Menu. Look at the greatness of Esther Hamalka. Look at the impact of Esther Hamalka. Look at yourselves. Look in the mirror and look at how you can impact Klal Yisrael. It's time to wake up. It's time to pick ourselves up. It's time to realize what we can accomplish. Amir Tashem, we should reflect on these messages, not just during Purim, but all year long, to appreciate who we are, what we can accomplish, the gift of time, and ultimately the promise of Klal Yisrael to rise up and to become the stars of the sky.